Blog Talk Radio.
John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Luke 4:8 records Jesus' saying, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Get thee behind me, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now since Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," join with me and let's join Jesus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we are going to continue in the Woolly Worm with Chapter 5 with Sister Bobbi Lively. She recently finished recording her reading of this book. Want to know something better than getting to hear the author read their own book? We got that here. You get to ask questions or make a comment at the end of the show for her to respond to. While Bill's been told that it sounds like he's wanting to reteach the lessons already in place to each chapter, he apologizes for this. The feedback has been more positive on comments of Sister Lively adding to her book and people sharing personal interactions with her as an exclamation to the book. While Bill said he guessed that we could all write our own book, but for much of this book, he was there and saw just how much God was moving, shaping, and fixing during these times. So it's hard not to get a little emotional. Because if you think about it, when our choices and reactions to things cause us to allow us to become broken or damaged, we know that we should end up on the scrap heap of life. In this day and time we live in, we just throw it away as a part of life. But Jesus takes a willing vessel and on the potter's wheel makes us whole to continue this process of life. It's hard to believe that we are on chapter 5. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment tonight, just push the number 1 on your phone and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when we place you on the air. Bill promises to try not to cover the material again behind Sister Lively. And now, let's have a listen.
The Woolly Worm, Chapter 5, the title is Present Tense. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. Can we recognize the present tense of God in this world? Can we learn to see the signs of God's presence with us in these days? We lived in Beebe, Arkansas for a little over 2 years. My husband was then transferred with his job to Tennessee. The first church we attended had major problems, and one of them was me. I was truly in the second school of my life, and it was the school of hard knocks in this season. I wish I could erase the memory of being there. I attended there for over a year, and then we moved to another area, and we were blessed to find a wonderful church. I was listening to the choir sing in one of the first services that we attended in the new church. The words were, "Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. When you feel you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember, someone is praying for you." Others had been praying for our family during the dark trial we were emerging from. Those prayers were present tense. They were working to encourage us at that moment. Prayer is a way of life and not just isolated acts. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I have spoken to many people who have been wounded in a church setting. King David, we read, he was betrayed by Saul. The Bible gives us this account. And Saul was the king. His own son, David's son Absalom, whom he loved, betrayed him. He was betrayed by friends, and the list goes on. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and Peter denied that he knew him. In the tapestry of life, we realize that the master weaver can, by his mercy and his grace, use every instance, both good and bad. This poem was written by Jason Lehman when he was 14 years old. The poem was sent to Abigail Van Buren. After verifying that the poet was indeed a teenager who was wise beyond his years, she published it in her February 14, 1989 Dear Abby column. The title is Present Tense. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. The freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted. To be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, and I never got what I wanted. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." This is Jesus speaking in Luke 3:14. Who is ever content with their wages? Are we? How can a soldier do no violence? Paul, the writer of Philippians, was in a Roman prison when he wrote these words. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Philippians 4:11. A preacher once commented on this scripture and said that no matter what state you're in, Texas or Arkansas, you are to be content. Well, that's not what I think Paul was saying, but if that's what the preacher thought, it still made sense. Actually, this scripture means there is contentment available to us in every situation and at all times. This is a profound lesson. It covers lifetimes of circumstances, the past, the present, and the future. Whatever stage, state, or process we find ourselves in, we have Jesus with us. He is present tense. A powerful trick that the enemy uses is to make people think that because they fail, they no longer have the presence of God with them. We must always remember that the devil is the accuser. The oppression of the enemy can cover our mind like the clouds cover the sun, but the sun is still there. Fasting added to prayer is a powerful tool to gain our victory. Again, back to Woolly Worm for a closer look. Would you pick him up if he curls around your fingers? He doesn't bite or sting. He will crawl wherever you place him. There is a friendly quality that you feel from this little worm. He seems to trust that you will not hurt him. If, on the other hand, he posed a threat, he would be destroyed. It is because of his contentment and trust that many times he is spared. This is a powerful lesson. People that are always searching and reaching for a title or position in life are usually not content even when they attain it. In recent research, it has been discovered that the little woolly worm may eat alkaloid-laden leaves. This helps fight off parasites. There is a fly larva that can be inside their little abdomens. This research reveals what is called the first clear demonstration of self-medication among insects. This is one more lesson we can learn from nature. When we partake of the Word of God and taste and see what we need to eat of the promises of God, we can rid ourselves of the weights and sins that so easily beset us. The scripture is found in Hebrews 12 and 1. I am no different from anyone else. I have personally battled with displacement and loneliness. The times I have felt fulfilled and enjoyed feeling like I was in place have always been temporary. Notice that I use the word felt. Emotions are not the gauge we use to measure contentment. The Bible teaches we are pilgrims, we are strangers in this life. This is not a negative situation. We can enjoy the trip. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Learning about the woolly worm and reviewing my life so I could share it has once again helped me have a greater understanding about the seasons of my life. With each season, we gain understanding. Solomon, who was noted for his great wisdom, wrote this passage concerning understanding. "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But with all thy getting, get understanding." Proverbs 4 and 7. Life in itself can teach us lessons, but sometimes these lessons are very painful. Some pain can't be avoided, but all lessons don't have to come through our failures. Wise is a person who learns from his experience, but wiser is the person who learns from others' experiences. I don't believe the Lord dishes out pain to us just to teach us things. Pain is there. It will always be there in one way or another. If I touch a hot stove and I'm burned, then if I'm smart, I won't do that again. There's an easier way to learn that a stove can burn. Planning prepares us. I can't plan how to stop the inevitable, but I can plan how to be prepared when within myself for the inevitable. If we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Remember this, a tree cannot wait for the storm to come before it puts down deep roots. Then it is already too late if it waits. Put down deep roots now, so when the storm comes, you'll be unmovable and unshakable. And put those roots into Jesus, into God's Word. Our time with God in prayer and studying His Word prepares us for the battles of life. Praising God, and I mean praising and worshiping God, will open the windows of heaven, and the blessings will come down. I am especially thankful to my wonderful Savior for being there the times I have stumbled, the times I've fallen, and it was because of my own stubborn will. If we do flounder and fall down, get up and acknowledge it. Return to Jesus and admit, "I did it, Lord. It was me." And then quit it. And then forget it. It's important to pay attention when we make a mess. The quicker we learn our lesson, the faster we can move beyond the problem, the situation. We can move forward. If we miss the point of the lesson, then get prepared, because it will come around again. Woolly worm sheds his skin 5 or 6 times. Why? He probably couldn't handle it all at once. These are called instars. When it is time for him to shed his old skin, he has grown a new one. We can learn a lesson there. When we try to assume a higher position in life, but we're not qualified, there is an idiom that we are familiar with. We can be accused of being too big for our britches, or as one man said, too big for your boots. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16 and 18. When our family moved to Nashville, Tennessee from BB, Arkansas, I don't think I would ever find anything, and so I wasn't. That's how I was thinking. I went every which direction. Each time I set out to find a different place, I would get lost. I learned to go the day before and map out the way, or leave really early because I knew I would probably get lost. The bright side of the story is that I was only lost one time for each place. I wish I could say the same thing about my spiritual walk. Thank the Lord for his long-suffering. I still have to repeat lessons on love and forgiveness when heartaches come my way. But the great lesson I've learned is the quicker I let it go and turn it over to Jesus and follow his instructions, the faster the peace of God that passes all understanding floods my heart. God's peace and contentment becomes a present tense. I arrive at the place of contentment, prepared by God's sweet Holy Spirit. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is his grace. Romans 5 and 5. The Bible teaches us that God brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then the rest of our life is spent getting the darkness and the world out of us. Jesus knew there would be people who would just not understand. He prayed from the cross for those who were blinded to the magnitude of the transgression they were committing. In Luke 23 and 34, from the cross, Jesus prayed concerning their weaknesses. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I pray that the Lord will give us understanding. With understanding comes strength and peace. Understanding requires a willingness to learn from the things we suffer. Praying for patience simply means you're asking God to make his lessons more effective. When we pray for contentment, it is born out of relationship with God. The only real peace comes from him. The only real peace comes through him. It may sound like I'm going to contradict what I just said. There are times, and in fact, all of the time, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Even though we would like to understand why things happen, we find great consolation in verses like, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We seek understanding, and God tells us to hear and understand. But our faith is in knowing God is in control and he knows the big picture and he will fulfill his plan for our lives. He never changes. He is present tense. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. I want to read that again. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Abound towards you and me. That we can have all the sufficiency for all that we need in every good work. How beautiful, how reassuring when we stumble and things just don't seem to go our way. It isn't wrong to want things, but when we continuously want more and more, newer and newer, better and better, then we can't be satisfied with what we have. The Apostle Paul admonishes us that contentment is present tense. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Hebrews 13 and 5. The first part of this verse begins, let your conversation. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily what we say in words, even though what we say is extremely important. Conversation can be our total manner of living. Our speech betrays what's in our heart. If we say and reflect discontentment, if we complain, then we have the symptoms of an unbelieving heart. If our manner of life is filled with worldliness, then we're not content with our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Many years ago, Al Capone, virtually known as the famous heroic, no, Capone wasn't famous for anything heroic. He was notorious for enmeshing the Windy City in everything from bootlegged booze and prostitution to murder. Capone had a lawyer nicknamed Easy Eddie. He was his lawyer for a good reason. Eddie was very good. In fact, Eddie's skill at legal maneuvering kept Big Al Capone out of jail for a long time. To show his appreciation, Capone paid him very well. Not only was the money big, but also Eddie got special dividends. For instance, he and his family occupied a fenced-in mansion with live-in help and all of the conveniences of that day. The estate was also so large that it filled an entire Chicago city block. Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob and gave little consideration to the atrocity that went on around him. Eddie did have one soft spot, however. He had a son that he loved dearly. Eddie saw to it that his son had the best of everything, clothes, cars, and a good education. Nothing was withheld. Price was no object. And despite his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach him right from wrong. Eddie wanted his son to be a much better man than he was. Yet with all his wealth and influence, there were two things he couldn't give his son. He couldn't pass on a good name or a good example. One day, Easy Eddie reached a difficult decision. Easy Eddie wanted to rectify wrongs that he had done. He decided that he would go to the authorities and tell the truth about Al Capone, known as Al Scarface Capone. He was going to clean up his tarnished name and offer his son some semblance of integrity. To do this, he would have to testify against the mob, and he knew that the cost would be great, so he testified. Within the year, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire on a lonely Chicago street. But in his eyes, he had given his son the greatest gift he could give him. That's all he had to offer at that price, and he would pay it. Police removed from his pockets a rosary, a crucifix, a religious medallion, and a poem clipped from a magazine. The poem read, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop. Will it be late or will it be early? Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in time, for the clock may soon be still." There's another story I'd like to share. In World War II, it was produced many heroes in that war. One such man was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. One day, his entire squadron was sent on a mission. After he was airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and realized that someone had forgotten to top off his fuel, and it was not full. He would not have enough fuel to complete his mission and get back to his ship. His flight leader told him to return to the carrier. Reluctantly, he dropped out of formation and headed back to the fleet. As he was returning to the mothership, he saw something that turned his blood cold. A squadron of Japanese aircraft were speeding their way toward the American fleet. The American fighters were gone on a sortie, and the fleet was all but defenseless. He couldn't reach his squadron and bring them back in time to save the fleet. There was only one thing to do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet. Laying aside all thoughts of personal safety, he dove into the formation of the Japanese planes. Wing-mounted 50 calibers blazed as he charged in, attacking one surprised enemy plane and then another. Butch wove in and out of the new broken formation and fired at as many planes as possible until all his ammunition was finally spent. Undaunted, he continued the assault. He dove at the planes, trying to clip a wing or tail of the planes, hopes of damaging as many enemy planes as possible and rendering them unfit to fly. Finally, the exasperated Japanese squadron took off in another direction. Deeply relieved, Butch O'Hare and his tattered fighter limped back to the carrier. Upon arrival, he reported in and related the events surrounding the return. The film from the gun camera mounted on his plane told the tale. It showed the extent of Butch's daring attempt to protect his fleet. He had, in fact, destroyed 5 enemy aircrafts. This took place on February 20th, 1942. And for that action, Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, Butch was killed in aerial combat at the age of 29. His hometown would not allow the memory of this World War II hero to fade. And today, it's O'Hare Airport in Chicago. It's named in tribute to the courage of this great man. So the next time you find yourself at O'Hare International, give some thought to visiting Butch's memorial, displaying his statue and his Medal of Honor. It's located between Terminals 1 and 2. So what do these two stories have to do with each other? Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. Let's stop and look back at the commitment that we made on page 19. What is the goal that you have set for yourself? How important is this goal? Have you made at least a mental commitment to work towards reaching the goal? The book, Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck, M.D., is a book that had an impact on my life, and I recommend it as a help to those seeking understanding. In the famous opening line of his book, "Life is difficult, and the journey to spiritual growth is a long one," Dr. Peck connects with you at the precise moment you need someone to confirm what you already believe. Life is a painful process of change. As we move toward a higher level of self-understanding, there must be a change. I was in a fiery trial when I read this book, but the Lord used Dr. Peck's insight to assure me that it could all work out for my good, and not only mine, but the rest of the people involved. And that's what God wants for us. And he will give us the grace and the power to attain it. I didn't want pain at that time. I didn't want loneliness. I sure didn't want betrayal. And I didn't want failure. No one does. We don't seek after trouble. But if it comes our way, there is a positive way and a negative way to face it. To run away from pain can cause more pain. When we let pain do its positive work in us, we will always be stronger. Pain gets our attention like nothing else will. It will force us to acknowledge harmful strongholds, such as bitterness and unforgiveness. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Read that over and see how the process always turns out for our blessing if we do the right thing. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Be righteous and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalms 32:11. Present tense. God is the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Spirit in regeneration. Jesus Christ is God uniquely present in a human life. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, John 1:14. He is Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1:23. God is present tense. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God in his nearness and power. Anywhere and anytime, the very divine presence incarnated in Jesus Christ is now present in his people. He is God himself relating to us in judgment, guidance, strength, and redemption. In other words, God is present tense. God is the source of all reality. We sing a chorus that tells it so well. He's on my right, he's on the left, in front and back. He's over me and under me, and he's living inside. So help me end this chapter with a chorus.
Earth.
sing it to the Lord. This is a song that we choose to sing. This is the close of chapter 5, present tense. And now we'll go to chapter 6, My Way or the Highway.
Well, thank you so much, Love Talk Mom. I am so enjoying this, and even more so with you reading it. And I would like to open up the mic. If anyone would like to ask a question or make a comment, just push 1 and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. And if not, we'll... Blog Talk Mom?
Sister Starla and Wild
Pool. I am so enjoying this.
Thank you. For Wild Bill to put that song on the end there, it's just, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just so blessed to have y'all. And the Lord is, I am so blessed. And I praise God from the depths of my heart for this program and for the extra work that you've put into it. And I do pray with all my heart that it blesses you and anybody else that would be listening to the different chapters as I try to I really recall some of the emotions and the experiences I was going through at the exact time that I was moved on to write the book. Because, I mean, like one of the things I said, talking about the church that I was in when we first moved to Tennessee, I feel in my heart that I was the biggest problem. And when I said I wanted to erase the memory, it was to erase my failures. But as the chapter continues and as the Word of God reassures us, these things, if we won't quit our eyes on the Lord, He will, according to that my favorite verse, all of these things, A-L-L, all, will work together, for good, to them that love the Lord and are the called, according to what? To His purpose. And that's what we find out as we work through things. It's really interesting. I'm sure that Sister Sandra will be here to help me tonight. We're working on 4 different projects. We're going to the jails when we can go there twice a month, and we're going to it's assisted living. It's a very, very nice, sort of like a person would visualize the a nursing home, but it's not as restricted. And then we have every Wednesday evening, we work together on the refreshments and different parts of our recovery class, which is a class that is designated from people that are in recovery, people that are court appointed, and she has been an outstanding help in everything. She's young, strong, very good getting these. You ought to see her. She can crochet. She was going to show me how. And we got into about 30 seconds, and I decided I would allow her to be doing that. I'll have to pick up. I'll have to go rap. That was my part. And so she'll be on tonight. We've gone through several points that might be interesting to people. And then I would love for Jill or Brooklyn or some of those that say they listen. Have been very, very encouraging, and if they want to say something, I think they get the same thing that we've discussed about a little bit of apprehension when it's actually saying something on the air, but they can just press 1 and then just tell everybody how much they love me. That would be being funny, I hope. So thank you again, Sister Starla and Wild Bill, and for whoever that didn't like they didn't say they didn't like what Wild Bill did, we must know that I have always when a cake was given to me, birthday cake, any kind of cake, you better get a piece before morning because I ate all the icing off of it. And Wild Bill, as far as I'm concerned, is the icing on the cake on this broadcast. And you are just awesome, Sister Starla. I know I just appreciate you and love you very much. And I really love my daughter. Joy Bells was absolutely one of the strongest influences on me following through to write the book. And I love her for that. She has been, I know when I was called to preach and to go to the church there, and I didn't know what to do. So she sent me a text. She says, if God brings you to it, he'll take you through it. And that was just exactly what I needed. So she's a true blessing. And so now, Sister Starla, were y'all going to, did y'all have something you wanted to say? I know Sister Sanders ready.
Well, Wild Bill had a question he wanted me to ask you, and I'm not sure if it's a funny or what, but I'll leave that up to you. Ask Mom if she has had any other times since this where she has felt she was the problem, or has she arrived?
I have not arrived, but I have learned. Now, this is going to sound probably like I'm switching subjects, but, you know, as you get older, if you have a little temperature or maybe your tummy hurts a little bit or, you know, little symptoms, you're not, you know, going to the hospital or anything, but you learn, drink more water, maybe drink a little juice. You learn the things to do. And as I get older and I've been through so many situations, I learn to recognize the symptoms of, number one, my lack of prayer, my lack of being focused on God, because we can get ahead of or behind what we're doing, and then, you know, ahead of the Lord, leading of the Spirit of God, and then when the symptoms, oh, I need to do this, or, oh, nobody loves me, rah, rah, rah. You know, you learn to recognize that. No, that's not it at all. The situation is maybe fast tomorrow or today or next week. I usually try to put off fasting. But back to his question, you know, I still have situations that come up, and I have been so blessed in the last 20 years to be in Jesus' name tabernacle. Now, Pastor Holland has passed away, but it was brought out so beautifully in one of our services. When Moses was gone out of the picture, Joshua came forward, and he was the one that was going to lead the children of Israel. And when Sister Holland was taken out, and she was 84, I believe, this young man that has, she's appointed him. She's put the mantle upon him. Brother Max Smith has been one of the greatest leaders that I have ever met. As young as he was, he's really 50-something now, but I guess when you're 82, everybody seems very young. But he has done a wonderful job of leading the church. Our church is an evangelistic church. It's one that reaches out to everybody in every situation. And in the book, it's talking about being hurt in church situations. And I meet people every day. In fact, today I met two people, and I invited them to church, and they said, we won't go to church because church people do not like us. So I guarantee you, you'll be liked if you come to J&T. And we laughed and shared some different things that everyone goes through. But it's really a problem. People do get hurt in church settings. And we need to read the Word of God and realize he's looking to us to be an extension of the present tense of love. We are to be that love that came to us, present tense. Give to those that are in need. Be there for a situation that needs I love it, though. I mean, it's really not an effort for me because it's just all, I guess, it's my calling or ministry, and I love it. So I hope I answered the question, Sister Starla, do you think?
I think you did. He has a couple more. He said, which is worse, fear of having dirt thrown at your name or mistakes you've made?
Well, I don't really know. I think the mistakes I've made because I stayed with the Lord have become trophies. Not trophies, you know, like, wow, look what I overcome. It's not that kind of thing. It's not pride. But it's like I'll never be even tempted to judge someone else. You know, I don't judge that person. I've been there. I've done that. I've seen what God can do. Now, it does hurt me at times to realize that I've given the enemy territory that he can accuse. But I've watched God redeem it. He is a redeemer. And the little church I told you that I wasn't, not that little, but I mean the church I visited when I was visiting with y'all, there was a situation in the church that where he knew me. I had a Christian school. I say I, but there was Christian school, part of the church, and he was there, and many of his family was there. And in that area, they decided, not just the church, but there was a real strong belief that women should not pastor, and probably not preach, but for sure not pastor. And it evolved into a situation where I was no longer there, and I go to this little church. I keep saying little church. It was not that little. I went to this church, and it was wonderful. I was so excited. Wild Bill and I were going to share in the service. And the pastor gets up, gets the church's attention, points to me, and says, this lady right here is the reason that I'm living for God. Now, if that is not a trophy, out of all the pain and the crying, and the bewilderment that I had during that time, but to know that out of that, for sure, there was a soul, one to the Lord. That's what it's all about, that we are present tense. We are to be that person, that the light shines. You know, when he talks about salt, salt preserves. Salt makes things taste good. Salt is, you know, it has all kinds of attributes. And then when the oil and the lamp was full and the lamp was trimmed, then that it has to be trimmed, and that, you know, that's cutting back, that's you know, sort of abrasive in that situation to trim a lamp. But because of that, the oil can fill up that wick and it shines so beautiful and bright. So sometimes I think that just the things that hurt and that I've gone through have caused the light of God to shine brighter. I you know, don't mean that like, oh boy, look how brightly I'm shining. I think y'all are getting the message that when we're hurt, we're cut back, there's things like that, we're going to be the five wise that get to go with the Lord. And then I don't, we can't lose. We cannot lose. That doesn't mean we can't hurt, because we can hurt. Sister Sandra has been such an absolute wonderful encouragement to me. She will tell me that she's learned things from just our working together. And that encourages me to know that God would put two people, I can't imagine her learning anything from me because she's so smart. But it's just, I love the way God does things. She has gone through a horrible situation in the last 6 weeks. I guess it's been about 6 weeks. And out of that, everywhere we go to minister, she can witness about that and glorify God all the way. And that's what it's all about. It's not that we're protected from harm. We're protected from being destroyed. But it's a battle. You go to the early church, and the martyrdom and the stories of history tells us, but the stories also of how they heard singing, like angels singing, right in the midst of all of that going on. And it'll turn martyrdom in those situations, even though we would not seek it. We have historical fact that there was all the presence of God and a host of heaven as they went right into the presence of God. So we can't lose. And that, again, I hope I'm not going too far with that. But I like his questions. Has he got another one?
He does. Of course, he does.
Okay.
He says, this is the last question, but it isn't. He's got two more. How do you stay so open and real in this book and in your life?
Well, I don't see myself as open and real. Well, the metamorphosis, if the little woolly worm, if he doesn't stay a caterpillar to a certain point, he dies. He's got up to six times. He outgrows his outer skin. He has to eat it himself, and then he saves a little bit so he can eat it a little bit later. I think there's so many truths in that. But, you know, as we go through these things, he has to be a real caterpillar until he's in the chrysalis or the cocoon. And then he's going to, that's every bit him. He's got to be real. And the story that was told to me was about a man was sitting out in his yard. He saw the butterfly struggling to get out of the chrysalis or cocoon, and he watched it for like hours. And finally he thought, well, I'll just make a little slit in the, where he's coming out, and he did. And when he did, the butterfly fell to the ground, and it never could fly, ever. It died. It was totally vulnerable. So imagine God looking at us. Yeah, we're struggling. Yeah, we are. But the plan is we'll fly. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost on that one. We'll be with him here and forever. Did that answer your question?
One more. Any advice or warning for people with a servant's heart?
I got a lot of advice. If God's given not a lot of advice, it comes to the point very quickly. If God gives you, if he calls you, then we'll quote Rhonda Joy, if he calls you to it, he will bring you through it. He will. It doesn't mean you're going to see everything, but he's present tense. He will be there. And, you know, like when Easy Eddie began to feel that strong conviction that I wrote about, and he knew what he was facing. I mean, he had to know. But he also knew that he wanted to obey the right thing. And then for his son, there's no telling how many people that was saved through the wonderful effort that he made. And as they, you know, they call that place, what is the name of that airport? And then he got all kinds of awards and prizes. And, you know, I don't know his religious belief, but I know the principle that was set forth in that, obey. I mean, he could have found an excuse like, well, I can't do anything. I've got to get back. You know, no, he did everything that he could, and it worked. And if we'll do what we are called to do, God will make it work. I've read stories. In fact, my greatest inspirations have been reading the life of missionaries. It will build your faith like nothing else to read the stories. The literal thing. This one story comes to my mind of a lady that she was raising the children. They in the area. I want to mention a little bit about it. But anyway, they were getting ready, and they each wanted certain kinds of food. They didn't have any food. They were going to send off a request for it. And this one little girl said, "I want a doll. I want a baby doll." And so the lady said, "Okay, we'll put that in there." And, you know, not even probably, but you should put it in there. About that time, they heard a noise, and they looked out, and there was a wagon, a big wagon, coming down through the woods. And it came and dropped a huge box with all of the food that they had asked. And when they were looking through it, there was a little baby doll. Now, it would have taken weeks for that request to get out of the jungle and for it to be filled. So for it to be there at that moment is one of the greatest miracles I had ever heard, and how much God loves us and desires to be present tense in so many testimonies that I've heard, but they didn't know it to begin with. They had to stand on what they were called to do, and then God did his part. Okay, now you can't, okay, we got plenty of time. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. Can you, can you encourage people to know that falling is not a reason to quit? Possibly use yourself as an example, or just things learned?
Well, the Bible in itself, but almost everybody, the Bible repeatedly says, you know, if you fall seven times in a day, get up. You know, it teaches us that falling is not wrong. It's staying down that's wrong. That's because it defeats you. You know, you're defeated if you will, because it we're working with the Lord on these things. He calls us, he provides for us, and then we've got our part to do in everything. And I think that is so beautiful that God would include us and let us be a part of every story, of every life. And it was brought out today, Sister Sandra brought out about David. And just think now, Samuel comes, he's a prophet, he's got a word from God, and then all of the brothers, Jesse brings all of his sons in, but it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. That, you know, the prophet's got the word, but it's not going to any of these. He's not calling them. And there's David, that his dad didn't even think about him, out there with the sheep, learning exactly what he was going to have to know. I think that's so beautiful. And he was the one. He was the one, you know. And then that, I believe that whole thing prepared David for what was going to happen with Saul. No, he killed the giant. Oh, yeah. But look what he had to run for years. And then when he had an opportunity to slay his enemy, he would not even consider it. And I think all of the being put out with the sheep, you know, having to kill the animals and everything that came against his little sheep, knowing God, knowing him in a way that you know that he knew God in a way that probably nobody involved in that would know him, and then prepared him for what he would be. And I tell you, the closeness between David and Jesus is something for us to look at, because it's beautiful. It's powerful, and it's forever. And I hope I didn't go too far with that, but that's interesting, because falling, that's why our recovery class is so wonderful, because they can tell, they can testify, yeah, I fell, and I got back up, and God let me come back, and God didn't put me down, he built me up, and, you know, I love it. Our church has that ministry, too, to let people know they can be used. It does not matter, and I know that while Bill was hurt very, very badly by a precedent that was set that was not reasonable, and he came through it, and so that has enabled him, that one thing, all that struggle has enabled him not to have the same problem, you know, not to have the same I guess you'd say, condemnation towards someone that he might not have ever had any other way. And so everything enables us, equips us for what God's calling us to do. And then we fall, just get back up. That's all he said we had to do. Okay, I'm through.
Okay. That was good.
Okay.
So we'll bring on Sister Sandra. Hello?
I'm here. She's still,
Oh, you're here. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm doing just great. How are all y'all? I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, Sister Lively, her book has really helped me an awful lot. And it's inspired me in many ways to use some of the things that she has spoken in all these chapters that we've already done. But this chapter really spoke to me. And I think the reason that it really spoke to me is because God is always in the present tense. But as humans, we're not always in the present tense. And as she was just saying, there are times when we fail and we pray that there's somebody there to help us get back up. Some people, when they fall, they, as much as we want to help them pull back up, they really need to search the Word and start praying some more, start fasting some more. When she was talking about how the enemy uses oppression to keep someone down, she's talking about the ACT class, and we have Sister Casey Johnson, and I always say her last name wrong, Johnson, is an awesome person. She was a drug addict, and she's very vocal about it, and she knows the street language. And when people that are in her, that are in that position right now, when they hear her speak, they feel God. I mean, she is just awesome, and she helps to bring them through what they have done, to let them know that you may have failed today, but tomorrow is another day, and if you can get back up. And one of the things that I was asking Sister Lively today was, in here she's talking about the oppression. There's, you know, some people don't know what the difference is between oppression and depression or displacement. So I was asking her to explain that to me a little bit. Could you explain it to me a little bit, Sister Lively?
Well, when we talked about it, there from the garden, I mean, there's just thousands of years here, and Satan is the oppressor. God gave definite descriptions of Satan's tactics. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is a liar, and he is the accuser of the brethren. The brethren. I mean, he doesn't stop at anything. He's going to be the accuser. He is an oppressive spirit that anytime he sees anyone begin to move towards God, I've seen this repeatedly, all of a sudden they start having all types. We have a beautiful couple that's been coming to church, and they turn right after they came in. Certain things begin to happen in the family. There was disruptions. There was this and that. Their house burned it this week, this past week, or I think it was in the last week. And but God has, his mercy has been there. He's been present tense. But we have to have eyes of faith to see that. Otherwise, the oppressor will come and say, well, you must really be weird, must be doing something wrong or all this. You know, he's the oppressor. He in oppression, get a vision of somebody, and this has really happened to me. I was 12 years old, and I was in school in Detroit Well, and it came from Arkansas, and we didn't even have, I think we even had a gym class at that age. But anyway, we had swimming classes. And it was time to take a test where two of us jumped in at one time. And as we jumped in, we had, they would say, tread water or do whatever, and we would do that after so many. We passed our test. The young woman next to me, who was obviously 12, turned and grabbed me, pushed me down under the water, and kept herself up by keeping me under the water until I passed out. They were trying to get down there, get me out, get her off of me, and whatever. She had totally went hysterical. All right, now that's oppression. I was oppressed. I was under the water, and, I mean, it was, but I had people that helped me. They came, they jumped in the water finally. They had to jump in, close, whatever, get her loose from me and get me out of there, and I was unconscious. But now this is what it, this is what, how I visualize Satan oppressing. He keeps us down. He'll get somebody to get a hold of us and push us down and condemn us, because he's just using that as a, they're a tool of him. Like God wants us to be the opposite for him. We speak words of encouragement. You can do it. God's word says you can make it. God's word says, God said, come unto him. If you labor or you're heavy laden, God will give you rest. He says, be wrapped up in him like a yoke and learn of him, and understand God is meek and lowly, and you'll find rest. Woo, hallelujah. When we begin to quote those scriptures and we do it with joy and with love and with peace, the oppressor has to leave. Now we can take it on and say, no, I'm depressed. I've got to take a little drug. I believe I'll get drunk. You know, now that's a whole different thing. I'm not going to blame the devil. You know, the wicked, the devil made me do that. Like the little joke of the devil was crying. They blaming everything on me. Oh, we got it. Anyway, I'm sorry. I went 10 directions with that, sister. Sandra, would you like to comment?
Yeah, one of the things you and I talked about earlier this week, you were just talking about our couple who lost their lost their house. Not only did they lose their house, but their van, the motor in her car burnt up as well. And it seemed like everything was dominoing down. And she and I were texting back and forth because she was feeling oppression. And she said, it's been so much to bear right now. And God believes me, and God believes me, I just don't understand why we're going through these trials. And the oppressor, and I answered her back and said, sometimes the oppressor, Satan, goes to full force for those he has lost. But as you can see, God always has his people replacing what they have lost, and it's usually better than what they had. But one of the things that is hard to always understand, for me even, Mr. Lively, is while she was going through this, as you spoke about earlier, I've been going through some stuff with my daughter, with her extended family. And sometimes you do feel like, even though I'm praying, I'm not sure God is hearing me. So what is the best way for me, for her and for I, to not let the devil have an entrance, to keep us faithful?
You can't go by feeling. I'll tell you that. Now, I'm not saying that God can't give you us good feelings. We can shout and run and clap and do all those things, but we do not walk with God by feelings. Absolutely. We walk by faith. And God, this is the antidote or the prescription. We're called to come to God now, right now, right this very moment. You come to God with it right now. I mean, when you and I pray, it's a now experience. When do we read the Bible? Now. I mean, get the Word of God and read it now. And when do we pray? Now. And when are we witnesses in our dilemma? Now. This is a now experience with God. And it works best. I don't know. No, I won't say that. But anyway, it works best, seems like, when the as we push through this, I don't know, remember who sent me the, might have been Wild Bill. But anyway, it was talking about a vision that a man, a minister had, and he, in the vision, there was darkness everywhere and big shooting, like lightning shooting all through it. And when he realized what it was the prayers of God's people that were shooting through the darkness. So, I mean, if we wait for everything to get right and our feelings, and then, you know, then we're not going to go forward. And that's what it's all about, is going forward in the Lord, standing our ground. And I don't know. I don't really feel like I'm quoting it like I really feel it in my heart. But I will give an example, and y'all will probably think, this is really weird. I got to thinking, we better not do this chapter. I thought, you know, I'm going to call Wild Bill and ask him if he'll go ahead and do the next chapter. Because I don't really think we, you know, and was that not stupid? That was a thought that came to me, and I had a feeling with it. And I look what I would have missed out on if I'd have gone with thought and feeling. I mean, it's very serious that I've heard people say, one lady said that God's delays always are for our good. A lady said that she just did everything in the world to get out and get to a job interview. It was, everything was perfect, exactly. I think she had a flat. Something went out in the car. There was anyway, she didn't get there. And when she found out later that if she had gotten that particular job, it would have been a hideous thing. They later found out it was all full of crime, and I don't remember the details of it. But God's delays. I mean, just because it doesn't look like it would be God, we can let it be God. And I'm just... feel like I'm rambling, but you go ahead and say something, Sister Sandra, and I'll argue with you. I'm playing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go right here, okay? That's an inside joke for Sister Lively there. One of the things that I
ought to tell that on you, too. Now, go ahead.
One of the good things that I was reading here that really made me feel good is that Jesus knows that we're not perfect, and he knows that we're going to fail, and he knows everything. But in his eyes, in my eyes, he's given me everything by going to the cross, of course, and dying for me. In his eyes, me coming to him is worth everything that he did. He cherishes each and every single one of us. And you're right, we can't be putting our feelings in there. And that's one of the things that, as a human, that we do. We put our emotions out there. And you had quoted the verse in here. And let me get back over here to it. You had quoted the verse. I just had it in my hand, and now I've moved the page. I hate to say that, but the planning does prepare us, but it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And so while I was reading this, I crossed out your understanding, and I just put, and lean not into my own feelings, when you were just telling me that. In all ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, and he's going to take away. And instead of saying he will direct my path, I was sitting here thinking, he shall take my feelings and turn them into blessings and show me the blessing of what's coming out of this. Just like when you lose your house due to fire and you were in that situation yourself, one thing you kept saying was, at least we got out alive. You know, and that was one of the things that the couple was saying the other day to me. No one was hurt. We're good. And that's a blessing. God put his angels around them at that point, just as he put the angels around the babies about 8 weeks ago. I was going to ask you, why do bad things happen to good people? But I think that Wild Bill's already got me my answer for that one. To assume a higher position, I'm not worried about a higher position on this earth. But as you and I were talking about yesterday and every day, every person that we come in contact with, we don't say something to plant a seed that there's out there for them. Just like the two that you talked to today, they said to come to church because of church people. I don't come to church because of church people. And I'm not judging them for saying that because I used to be one of those who said that. I come to church for Jesus and to learn more about him. Your book and hanging out with you as much as we get to hang out, I am learning so much about one of the things that I like about you, Sister Lively, is that when I say something that doesn't sound right or you don't completely agree with me, you tell me. And that's what I need, and that's what everyone needs. Because as our pastor is our overseer of us and our soul, we are to each other as well. We're not off the hook just because we have a pastor above us. You and I and everyone has that same responsibility to speak to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them and plant that seed. Now, what they do with the seed, as we said before, is going to be up to them. But when you decided to write this book, you said that your daughter really pushed you this way to get you to understand how important it was. She's a very wise woman, and she has a very wise mother. You have a lot of stuff in here that I'm learning from. I just love it. I just love it. You inspired me back in January when I found out that you had written a book and everything. You inspired me to start writing about some things, and you told me to use an application called, and I may say this wrong, Nanu?
NaNoWriMo.
That's it. Always. I would love for other people to use that as well, just journal, because it kind of keeps you on a thing. It's just like a prayer. It's almost like having a prayer journal at times. But how do you stay content all the time?
How do I what?
How do you stay content all the time? Because, I mean, you're never not content.
Go back to the, you know, we've got to be calling on God. It's a now experience. It's like breathing. I can do nothing without the Lord. And God used plants and animals, seeds, flowers, nature, you know, a lot of that in the Bible is used for illustration and object lessons, as you and I have discussed. And there's a process. You know, of everything that he's talking about, there's a process. Even the 23rd Psalm, to go what shepherds know about sheep, oh my, the depth of that the Lord is my shepherd, is so much. Psalms 119. I like to wild Bill out with that. But God will inspire us. He gives that inspiration, that breath. And then we must respond. We got to breathe. And then he provides what we need by his word, by his blood, by the plan that will bring us into being born again. And then we have to be obedient and perform those things, allow him, allow them to perform in us what God designed, as I talked about with the metamorphosis. Now, Wild Bill texted me that he was not going to be able to come on, and we've used our time. So, Sister Starla, what do we do next?
Well, I mean, you're welcome to do whatever you want.
Well, it's in our time pretty much. I don't want to go over whatever you want us to do.
I guess we could wait. It's just hard to believe that we are out of time, and because I was really enjoying it, but we can just wait and go next week into chapter 6, or, you know, or if you have something else to share,
there's a couple of scriptures. I would like to end it with Psalm 17:15 says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." We're going to behold him. He is present tense, but we're literally, literally going to look to him face to face, and there'll be total satisfaction. I mean, there's always got so much to look forward to. And if we get that in our mind, that present tense with him, then Satan's not going to distract us. We're going to have on the armor of God. Our mind will be protected by the salvation that God has given us. The breastplate of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God. I'm in Christ. And the belt of truth. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? Peace. We can have peace that passes all understanding. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Shield of faith, the word of God. We've got these. God's given us the armor, and he tells us, just like the Apostle Paul told us, take it up. Take it. And remember that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying. There's not going to be any more pain. And all these things will be passed away. Isn't that something to look forward to? And he said, all things will become new. All things. Oh, praise God. And I thank you, Sister Starlet, Wild Bill, Sister Sandra, and for our Almighty God that loves us so very much.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom and Sister Sandra. I, for one, really appreciate it. I am enjoying this book. I don't enjoy reading so much, but I like especially you reading the book, because you can accentuate, and you just, it's just altogether different when the author is reading a book, I think. It is just a whole different understanding. And that's what you read for, is for understanding. And this is icing on the cake for me.
Okay. It's wonderful.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Well, if you both, either one, have nothing else, going once.
Oh.
Well,
next week, huh?
We want to thank our listeners for being with us, and we pray that you are being as blessed as I have with this reading. I am really enjoying it. And we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.